but we're much better than what we showed against them, and this is what we're going to show them tonight. No doubt in my head. Let's go, guys. Go.
Listening to the 90 Plus Podcast. Here's your hosts, Ben Righetti and Sebastian Pereira.
We are back. Two episodes in the span of a week. Took a little bit of a break, but you know what? We're getting closer to the season. The 90 Plus Podcast starting to kick it up a gear. I'm your host, Ben Righetti. As always, joined by my wonderful co-host, Sebastian Pereira. We're here. We're ready. You know, it took a little while, but seems like the floodgates have opened. Whitecaps news starting to come a little more frequently. It couldn't go much slower than really the last 2 months. We had our episode last week talking about draft picks, talking about basically everything within the last 2 months. And then this episode's everything within the last 7 days, because boy, has a lot gone on in terms of the Whitecaps, at least by their standards, in the last week or so. So, Sebastian, we've got a big show today. Are you ready? How are you doing? Welcome to episode 38 of the 90 Plus Podcast.
Great to be back. You know, it's always great to get on the mic for these episodes, especially when there's a lot of news going around. I mean, quite an eventful week in Whitecaps land. You love to see it, given, as you mentioned, the sort of hiatus the Whitecaps offseason has been in the past 2 months, but we got quite a lot of news this week, and we got a couple of confirmed signings for next season. So it's nice to see. And yeah, we'll be talking about those. We will also be talking about CBA, because that's important. And really hinges on whether the Whitecaps can play a game, not only at BC Place, but maybe in Portland in the States this year. So that's going to be tough to watch and unfold. I mean, it's been a crazy situation, but other than that, we're also going to talk about the latest rumors in Whitecaps land as well. A certain number 10 is still out there that we're looking for. So
who doesn't wear a number 10? We got to keep that in mind.
Yeah. That was recently dropped by Axel Schuster on the last press conference,
which we'll dive into as well.
Yeah, exactly. Lots to talk about.
You forgot the biggest signing of the offseason. Evan Newton joining the Whitecaps. From the Indy 11 in the USL, the Whitecaps adding to their ever-growing goalkeeper room. We'll dive into that towards the tail end of this episode. But for now, like we said, episode 38 of the 90 Plus Podcast. Let's kick it off, Sebastian. It took its sweet time, but you said the key word there, confirmed, finalized. Put your pen on the paper and take it to the bank. Deber Casado is a Whitecap. All the way from the mighty land of Colombia, like yourself. How are you feeling about this? Because I know you're really excited for this one.
Yeah, I was really excited. You know, ever since the highlight video came out, I couldn't stop watching it. Big creds to the Whitecaps.
Sebastian sent me a text at about 1 a.m. saying, bro, I'm still watching this highlight reel. like I can't stop watching it.
It was a pretty good highlight video. So creds to the guys at the Whitecaps for pulling through with a sick highlight video.
Keeping him up at night.
You know me. It's great to see him in a Whitecaps jersey as well for the first time. And finally, the deal gets over the line. Yeah. It seems what was holding it up was the medical now. That's what Axel said in the press conference. Apparently, they got Deber a flight to Mexico, and he had to go to Mexico to complete the medical, in which the Whitecaps then had to wait quite a while to get those medical reports in and make sure everything was A-OK. Great to see. And I know I did mention a couple episodes back that there were better options in the Colombian market. As of right now, but I think this is a great project for the future for the Whitecaps. It's a 20-year-old winger, 20-year-old speedster, in fact. It's going to be really nice to watch. And from the research that I've seen conducted by a lot of Whitecaps media, especially Caleb Wilkins, he came out with a piece earlier this week. It's deep dive on Deber Casado, so go check it out at 86 Forever. It's a great way to kind of, get a better understanding of what Deber Casado can offer to this Whitecaps team. And there's a lot of great stuff in there. So definitely go check it out. Something that I saw was the stats that he built up in the Primera División, as we like to call it, and the Segunda División, which is the first league and the second league in Colombia. The stats he built up in those leagues were very, very similar to the ones that Michael Barrios, the winger for Colorado Rapids, fellow Colombian, he actually put up quite a lot of numbers at FC Dallas over the past, I think, 4 or 5 years that he's been there. And he put up like crazy good numbers for them. He did have a couple rough seasons with not too many goal tallies, assist tallies, but the numbers that Michael Barrios put up in the two leagues in Colombia were pretty similar to what Daber kind of put into his time there as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how quick he settles into this Whitecaps team and if he can kind of build up those same numbers that Michael Barrios was building up towards in MLS. So interesting to watch that. Something else that I also saw was his positioning. So he really likes to get into the back post as well. He's a guy that's going to make those back post runs. And it's something that Caleb mentioned in his piece, that with a guy like Dahomey on the other wing, who likes to get those crosses into deep areas, it's an area that Daber could really excel off of, running off of Cavallini, who's really going to be a guy who's going to take off most of the presence in the penalty area. So it's going to give Daber a better chance of, you know, getting on the end of balls in towards the back post. So I could go on forever about Caleb's piece because it's so in-depth and there were so many good takeaways from that piece. But go check it out, 86 Forever, Caleb Wilkins, Deep Dive, Daber Caicedo. It's a great piece, so go check it out. But yeah, I'm overall thoughts for me, great signing, and I'm really excited. It's a long-term project. The Whitecaps got to be patient, but it's a signing that I'm sure will pay off. If not in the near future, in the far future as well. Yeah. So.
the one thing that I don't say concerns me, but I'm a little skeptical about is, like you said, you know, it's a good long-term project for him. He's young. He's got a long way to develop, but considering he's only 20 or 21 or however old he is, he's, you know, he's got a great, you know, wide range of skills. He's a great dribbler. He's fast. He's his positioning is very good, which I'm a sucker for good positioning with stuff like that. But I do think that, you know, right now, a lot of people within the Whitecaps community are penciling him as a starter already. You know, him and Dahomey are going to be the guys, at least from what a lot of people are saying and the way people are talking about Caicedo. Day one, you know, he's jumping right in there. So, you know, the season has been pushed back to April 4th, you know, given if everything, you know, with the CBA is all flushed through. But, yeah, you know, a lot of people are saying that, like, you know, he's got to hit the ground running because, you know, you've got Dahomey on one side, and I believe it was brought up in the press conference that that Daber spoke to Dahomey before coming out to Mexico, talking to him about the team, the culture, you know, everything about there. And apparently, you know, Dahomey doing the club a solid, you know, putting in a good word for the boys in Vancouver. So, you know, we'd love to see that. But yeah, I just think that it's a great long-term project. I think if he gets time to develop, he can really turn into a great player. But I do think that people are going to have to be patient with him, because at least right now with the roster the Whitecaps have, I do see him being a day one starter on the wing. And, you know, it takes time to get accustomed to a different league, to a different city, to different training routines, regimens, head coaches and tactics and all that sort of stuff. So especially as a 20-year-old, you know. So I do think that people need to be patient, given that he is likely to be a starter and he might not fit the mold or completely mesh straight away. The rest of that, I do agree. You know, his dribbling looks fantastic. He looks very direct, which I love to see, because
something the Whitecaps didn't really do last season. I mean, Dahomey he kind of showed flashes of it at some points during the last season, but he wasn't like to the point really direct. Like he wasn't like, okay, I'm going to take on this guy like all the time. I feel like Daber is more of a guy who's really direct, and he really likes those 1v1 battles. So,
I mean, you know what? I think he would have been absolutely perfect if we kept Milinkovic. I think him and Milinkovic from, you know, the highlight reels and what I've seen and read about him, it seems like him and Milinkovic are quite similar. Maybe Caicedo's a little bit more flashy and Milinkovic is a little bit more physical. But apart from that, you know, the way they play, the way they think, the way they move, it seems like those two kind of stock up similar side by side. So I would have loved to have seen Caicedo with a bit more of a veteran presence in front of him so that he's not forced to be the guy, you know, to bring the ball up on that side. Or, you know, there's someone out there that if he's having a bad game, they can replace him with equal, if not more, quality. You know, right now, if he is a starter, who's your backup for the wing? Mm-hmm. You know, you bring it on like Ryan Raposo.
That's a point that I was going to bring up as well.
Yeah. So I would have loved to have either kept Milinkovic, even if it was another year alone. I think that would have been awesome for Caicedo to have someone to kind of look at and see, okay, he's been in the system for a year now. This is how he works, how he plays. Let's try either copy that or change it up a little bit to his own, you know, standard, a way that's comfortable for him. Having no one like that and being forced to be the guy in that spot and knowing that, you know, you don't really have a replace. I mean, like, again, Ryan Raposo, like, I had a chat with him for an article I just wrote for Last Word on Soccer. Go check it out. Yeah, he's a good guy. But, I mean, you know, he's a great player and he's young. But Caicedo's got more experience at a top level. Like you said, he spent a few years at the top and the second from top divisions in Colombia. He's coming out to MLS. Whereas Raposo, you know, he spent a few years in college and he lit it up in college. And he had 15 appearances for the MLS, and MLS is back. But yeah, you know, we've seen flashes from it from Raposo, but you can't rely on that game in, game out. Mm. And that's what the Whitecaps are expecting of Caicedo, that game in, game out, he will be the guy on the wing. So I like the idea of a long-term project, but I do think starting off, we are going to have to be patient because he is 20, he is young. He's coming to a new league away from his family. You know, it's going to be tough for him. So I do think that, you know, take everything with a pinch of salt over the next couple of months for Caicedo.
Yeah, and we'll see. Like, we'll see. I really like the idea that you brought up that there's no backup behind Caicedo. If, for example, he does get like an injury or he's not really settling in, needs a little bit of time to adjust to the system and stuff like that. There's not really someone you can put in there and say, okay, like that guy's going to do a job for me. Mm-hmm. He's going to contribute. Like Raposo's shown flashes, as you said, but he's not a guy you can like immediately plug in there if per se Caicedo gets injured. You know what I mean? So
he can't be a long-term replacement.
Or, yeah. Well, maybe the Whitecaps try and go for a domestic player. If they do think that's an area they can improve in terms of depth, they try and go for a domestic based winger or something they can get on the cheap to offer.
But I mean, they still have one international spot available, including a number 10 to cut. So they, I think, if I'm unless I'm mistaken, they have two international spots. One, I'm hoping they're holding out for the number 10.
You'd have to imagine that's got to be one of them's got.
Yeah,
be,
you know, I'm all for Canadian soccer, but I can't see. You know, I can't see someone like we would have like known who he is like way earlier on. So
yeah,
and plus they wouldn't have had the excuse of the visa takes 34 weeks and people are looking. Where was the weird country? Like
Morocco,
and then nothing. You know, not weird. You know, shout out to our guys in Morocco if we have any listeners. We have some in Belgium. I remember looking at that. About 2 months ago, we found our third biggest country is Belgium. I'm getting off topic here.
Shout out to boys in Belgium.
Yeah, absolutely. I could be mistaken, but from what I last remember, they have two international spots available because they picked one up from Nashville before the draft. So,
we'll see.
Just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, for sure. Just something else I wanted to touch on, Mr. Caicedo, before we move on. He said that he came to the MLS a lot because of the fact that the league is sending a lot of players to Europe. And that's something that we've seen recently with Jordan Morris going to Alfonso Davies as well. But, you know, I just want to acknowledge that it's a good one recently as well. Yeah. Jordan Morris made his Swansea debut today. So it's Saturday day recording. Yep. And of course, Alfonso Davies going to Bayern Munich, Miguel Almiron to Newcastle. Mm-hmm. I know I'm forgetting a lot, but those are the ones that come to mind.
Yeah. Who's the Dallas right back that went like a few days ago?
Oh, Brian Reynolds. He's linked with the move to Roma. Oh. That should be getting over the line in a couple days.
Yeah.
According to our boy, the legendary Tom Bogert.
Oh, yeah. We believe what Tom says. Mark DeSantis. Yeah. Going to get that tattooed on my forearm. Like, believe what Tom Bogert says. Like, I'll take that to the grave. Yeah. Tom Bogert says it, you better believe I'm putting all my chips on.
More than Fabrizio Romano.
We'll have that, debate. We'll have that debate another time. Yeah. We'll get into, yeah, you know, that could be messy.
Yeah. messy. messy.
Go on. MLS, when's he coming to the MLS? Good Lord. Get messy to the
Better be soon. So going back to Caicedo.
Just drop off.
Oh no. So he says he's coming here because he's seen a lot of players go to Europe, obviously. And he's a guy that kind of wants to break into the Colombian national team as well. He's played in the U20 and the U17 levels of the Colombian national team. So he's a guy that really wants to get in and break into the Colombian national team. Obviously, me being Colombian, I know all of this, but the Colombian national team brought in a new coach, Reinaldo Rueda, a couple weeks ago. So he's going to be looking for some new talent across the world to kind of bring into the new mold of the Colombian national team, because obviously James Rodriguez is turning 30 this upcoming year. Falcao's kind of out of his prime. He's still balling it out, but he's kind of, you know, getting to that age where he's got to move on from the national team. It's a bit of a transitional moment for the national team. So Daber thinks he can come into MLS, and if he can solidify his spot in the Whitecaps and really produce some numbers, produce some moments and stuff like that, he can really break into the Colombian national team. So that's something to watch for. We could potentially be signing a Colombian international as well.
Wouldn't mind that at all.
That's something he said. I just wanted to point that out.
So, and then another big sort of thing, I guess, or a lot of things came out of that press conference. I unfortunately wasn't able to be there over Zoom. I was preoccupied. However, the better looking half of 90 Plus Podcast, Sebastian.
Oh, don't say that. You're the one with the girlfriend.
No, I don't know. If anyone, single, you know, late to teenage to early 20-year-old girls looking for a nice Colombian fella with a, I don't know, you got a nice smile. You know, you're good look. You've got good style. I'm
smiling into the camera right now, just so you guys.
I will say that you have good style, Sebastian. I'll give you that. Where are we going with this? God.
Now we're just
I'm just playing matchmaker for Sebastian. Good Lord.
You're a good driver. You drive really good.
Damn. Jake Nowinski would, you know, say otherwise. That's fine though. Anyway. So Sebastian was at the press conference. A lot of stuff came out, Sebastian. Give us the headlines, you know, give us the big two or three of what came out of there.
Oh, I'll do my best.
putting you on the spot.
But one of the big things that was kind of interesting to hear was that the Whitecaps will be announcing their scouting department changes in the next 7 days. So the press conference, if I'm not mistaken, was Tuesday. So we're still waiting on that. Axel said that they'll announce a little bit more on that in the coming days, but we'll see how that looks like, because from what has come out, it seems like there's still not really a scouting department yet, obviously. So
damn.
We'll see what they say.
Oh yeah.
What else came out? I'm just looking for
rumors about the number 10, but we'll get into that in a little bit, because that's a meaty subject right there.
Yeah. There was just a lot of talk about the number 10 stuff. Links to the number 10 himself were spilt in there. They did say that Milinkovic won't be coming back. That's a given.
Something else. Sorry, keep going, but yeah.
So Milinkovic isn't coming back. That's what Axel said. Obviously, now that they have Daber, they have that left-footed winger they wanted. So it looks like there's no chance of Milinkovic coming out at all. From what I've seen, it looks like he's in France. With his family, so we'll see what happens with that there. But other than that, not much really. There was just a lot of stuff on the number 10, which we'll dive into in a
Just before we get into that, would like to give a congratulations slash sort of a update to Andy Rose. He is slowly, you know, there's no denying it that, you know, no one can outrun Father Time. And we love Andy Rose. Like, you know, he's a great guy with the media, like, you know, he's always like, you know, whether for good or for bad, he's always the one that, you know, the communications team is able to put up on Zoom for after training or after games or whatever.
He's a great guy.
So yeah, so he is becoming the assist. He also got a 1 year contract extension that sees him through to the end of this year. The 2021 season. And then he has also become the assistant coach of the U19 BMO Boys Academy team, which is awesome because Har asked this question at the end of the season press conference to Andy Rose about, to Mark DeSantos about maybe bringing Andy Rose into the coaching staff or giving him a sort of like, not a player coach sort of role, but just like almost like a save the coach or some, you know, somewhere in the coaching staff somewhere. And Mark said that, you know, he wants him to keep playing. So with this role, he is a part-time assistant coach. So that way he can still, you know, continue the playing with the first team. Cause he's still got a good year, a couple of years left, you know, before we can, you know, call it. So, and if he wants to get, yeah, exactly. And if he wants to get into coaching, then, you know, this is an awesome thing, you know, assistant coach of the academy team part-time, so he can, you know, obviously focus on his training, his first team stuff, and when he gets spare time he can offer his, you know, and he's very wise, you know, as a lot of center backs but they're good readers of the game, and they're very knowledgeable, and, you know, stuff like, you know, you don't typically find in, you know, a number 10 or a winger or whatever. They're a lot like smarter. Yeah.
Well, they just visually see the game.
Yeah, they see a whole lot more of the field, and from that they learn. And Andy Rose, he's had, you know, one of the longest careers out of the active Whitecaps players. You know, he's played a lot. He's got a lot of awesome experience. He's learned a lot. So yeah, so I think he's gonna do a great job at that assistant coach role. And plus, you know, Godoy, and it sort of looked like Ranko sort of got the nod to be like Godoy's partner at center back. Then you've got Derek Cornelius. And then honestly, probably maybe Andy Rose below that, or like level with Cornelius or whatever. So he's like a third or fourth string center back. He's a little way down the pecking order. So it's not like, you know, he's like first team starter, you know, and we're yanking him out of there to coach the, you know, 18-year-old boys or whatever. It works out right. You know, it's good for everyone. So I'm happy to see him go through with that.
Yeah, for sure. It's great to see him, and he's been working on his coaching badges for a while now, so it's good to see him get into coaching. I think it's also going to be really sick for the academy boys to you know, get that first team presence in the locker room from that point in the U19s so early on, and to have like a guy like Andy Rose from the first team, you know, mentoring you and coaching you is going to be great, because you can basically ask him whatever. You can be like, oh, what does like Mark say in the first team, for example, or what does he look for in his players and stuff like that. So I think it's a great move for both sides. Obviously Andy Rose said he's wanted to go into coaching, and he's gotten that, and he's also got a 1 year contract extension with the Whitecaps. Yeah. So it's great for that as well, and the Whitecaps get as well a young coach who's working his way up the ladder.
Oh yeah.
And the academy benefits from that. They can only benefit from that. So it's a little bit of a deal that's been kind of forgotten about, but it's just like in the corner there, but it's a great deal for the club and for the player as well.
Oh yeah. And also I came across this on Twitter and it just made me laugh. I've got to say it. Former, I think he was an assistant coach with the Whitecaps back in when Robbo was in charge, Martin Pert. He is now the first team strength and conditioning specialist at Manchester United. So, you know, the Robbo masterclass of coaching, you know, doing what he does best, you know, furthering the game everywhere except Vancouver, which is fine. You know, we love to, you know, Alfonso Davies, good, you know, feel good story of, you know, kid brought up, you know, and then sent off, you know, entertaining the world, you know, bringing joy to millions, just like Robbo and Jesus Christ. Put them in the same conversation.
You want to put Bernie and Beanie into that conversation?
Oh, and Kenny Miller. They're all down there. Where did he go? Because he's at Western Sydney now. Where did he go straight away?
Beanie or?
No, Robbo down in Australia.
Robbo went to Newcastle Jets.
He went to Newcastle, right? And then
he brought Bernie Abini with him to Newcastle Jets. And then Robo went to Western Sydney.
Yeah.
And then he brings Bernie and Beanie with him again.
The best friend. You know, and you
what?
Know
what? Guess what? Guess, I'm not done there.
Oh, no.
Bernie and Beanie scored his first Western Sydney goal yesterday.
No way. That's actually dope. That's actually awesome. I love to see that. Bernie and Beanie was one of like my favorite. I don't want to say be mean, but he was one of my favorite useless Whitecaps players. Like he was just like something about him was, it was like an Andy Carroll sort of like feel about him where like he could do nothing wrong and it would just like make me like giggle, you know, and just like, you know, like on a childish sort of way, just yeah. Like, oh, like, you know, I don't even know. Just something about him. It just like, yeah, that's, I loved seeing him play. Just for like purely entertainment. Cause I mean, like it was like what, 2016, 2017 when he was
2017. Yeah.
2017. Yeah. So like, and you know, and again, he was like a bit down the pecking order. So it's like, it's not like, you know, and if it's not like he was a starting striker, like it'd be different, you know, that's why I'm not, you know, laughing. I'm like, I get more pissed off when Cavallini misses a penalty or he doesn't do this, but when Bernie Abini does it, he can get away with it because he's Bernie Abini, so it's fine. So yeah, so that's, oh, that's awesome that he's scoring down in Australia. Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. However, the Whitecaps, they need goals. Mm-hmm. We've got a good striker, I like to think, in Cavallini. Got a few decent backups with Rickett, Segbo and Bear. You know, we've got a couple of wingers. We got Raposo, Casado, Dahomey. But we're missing one man to plop right in the middle of all that, the number 10. Sebastian, what have we heard over the last 7 days and honestly about 4 hours after we posted the last episode, rumors have came out about one man who we have been talking about all week on Twitter, at Rigetti Ben, at SebastianP74, and at 90plus podcast. Sebastian! Who is Ottavio? What's the deal? What's going on? Talk to us.
Well, as Ben said, I mean, we put up the podcast and literally 4 hours after up the podcast, our boy Tom Bogert, the legendary Tom Bogert.
I will get a tattoo on my arm that we stand by Tom Bogert.
Releases a report on Twitter saying that the Whitecaps are interested in Ottavio, that they've made an offer and all this type of stuff. And we're like, what? Like, we literally just recorded and we now have to like break this in the next episode. But the Whitecaps have made an offer for FC Porto midfielder Ottavio. He's a Brazilian number 10. He's really versatile as well. That's something a lot of people don't know of as well, that he can play in the left mid position. He can play as a right mid. He can also do a job as a center mid as well. But here's the thing.
Ooh.
As much as you can get excited about his playing style and his numbers that he's racked up in a top league in Portugal, in Liga MX.
Oh, yeah.
He also has Champions League experience.
Oh, yeah.
Nice to put that in there.
Wait, CONCACAF or UEFA?
UEFA, yeah.
Love to see it. Love to hear it. Just love to feel it.
Just had to double check.
Scotiabank? None of that.
No. And he's also a guy who wins the ball back a lot.
Awesome. Work great. Love to see it.
Work great. Has that. Don't be needed. Expected goals, assists.
Huge numbers.
Huge numbers. Oh, yeah. Has had really good seasons in Porto. Really good, really I must say.
Really.
Here, as I said before, here's the thing.
Here's
the big but. AC Milan.
Oh.
Roma. Juventus. Napoli.
Oh.
And Leicester City are all after this guy.
But it's fine because we're the Whitecaps and we have so much like sex appeal to draw these players into our club. It's fine. You know, AC Milan, who cares? Leicester City, none of that. Napoli. I do have a soft spot for Napoli. I don't really know why, but I just do. But, you know,
Maradona?
It's Vancouver. Could be. I don't know. It could be. But, you know, it's Vancouver. We've got, you know, that movie star quality. We've got all the shebang and the shabut. So we're all good. We don't need to beat out.
Well, here's the thing. You're right, because if you look at the rosters of AC Milan, Roma, Juve, Napoli, and Leicester City, AC Milan – where's Ottavio going to fit in there? They already kind of got like a number 10 in Çalhanoğlu and a couple other guys there mixing up in that position. Roma, Mkhitaryan is killing it for Roma as a number 10, I think. Pellegrini, I think, is also a big number 10 at Roma. Juventus, you're probably not going to get on Juventus. That's just the reality with the amount of quality that's on that team. You may get a couple games here and there, but it's just not a move that would benefit Ottavio. Napoli, maybe not. I mean, Dries Mertens, Politano.
Love me some Dries Mertens.
Of course. Insigne. A lot of big players there. And Leicester City, James Maddison is killing it. My boy Matters. He's killing it with Leicester City. So, yeah, it's just if you were to judge the movies on where Otavio can absolutely guarantee himself a first team starting spot week in and week out, it's got to be the Whitecaps.
It's got to be. Well, I saw that the in the initial Tom Bogert tweet that sent all of Whitecaps Twitter into a frenzy at like 9 p.m. last week. I forgot what day it was. Oh, it was a Saturday, right? It was a week.
It was a Saturday because we recorded on last Saturday.
Right. So in the initial tweet, it did say that the Whitecaps sent an offer of, what is it, $2 million a year plus a $5 million signing fee.
Yeah, and that would be for him to, if I'm not mistaken, that would be just a fee for him. Like it's not like a transfer fee because he is a free agent in the summer. So you just pay him all that money straight up to him, and then he comes to the Whitecaps.
Yeah. So you know, like, it just like in the tweet, I just saw I am so excited for whoever this number 10 is, because I think that, you know, the fact that we're being linked to quality names like we have in the past couple of weeks, I feel like that at least means we're in the right area and we're just waiting, you know, we're waiting for the right one to stick. We're waiting to, you know, bait that fish. So I think we're looking in the right places, because the few guys we've been linked to, all of them excite me. All of them seem to fit the bill. So it looks like we're heading in the right direction. This
offer for Otavio is still on, like, it's still on tabs. And Axel did not, like, he didn't like confirm, or he didn't deny the reports at all from Tom Bogert. He absolutely said, like, Tom Bogert is doing, the legendary Tom Bogert has done a great job in the past 7 days. So it means these reports are right.
Yeah.
The Whitecaps are 100% interested in Otavio's signature. As you said, it's great to see. I mean, the Whitecaps being linked with these sort of players, but at the end of the day,
these sorts of clubs, Christ. I mean, the initial tweet is like, oh, it's like to try to lure him away from AC Milan. Like, fucking hell, excuse my language, but like AC Milan, like, you know, play on I know typically, you know, AC Milan versus Vancouver, you know, in a nutshell, typically players would lean the way of the Serie A. But yeah, I just saw that. I was like, damn, like, we're mixing with the big boys on this one. Like, that's awesome. And
it's crazy. But what we need to do now is get the guy. Like, if it doesn't make a difference, I know if we're being linked with these sort of big players, we have to get a guy that's going to be like has a profile as big as this. If that's what the Whitecaps are going for, they have to get a guy that's this big.
Manuel Veft tweeted out a few days after like the initial reports came out from the boy Tom Bogert. And it was, I can't remember what the exact figure was, but I think it was around 25 million euros is his value. And that would have made him the most expensive current player in the MLS if he joined like on that day. I know that website changes like basically daily. But he said like right there, like if he had joined the Whitecaps and was a member of an MLS side, he would be the most not expensive, but like the most valuable player in the in the entire MLS, which, I mean, it would be awesome to have, you know, in thing. We've never had like you know, really, apart from when, like, right when Davies was blowing up and, like, excuse me, like, right when Davies was blowing up and, like, it was announced he was going to Munich, then, you know, it sort of became, like, a big name around the league.
Yeah, like, it was that, you're so right on that, because before Davies got the move to Bayern Munich, there wasn't too much talk about him at all in the league. It was very, like,
minimal. Like, we knew his quality and his caliber, what he's capable of, but, you know. Yeah, you just didn't see a whole lot of people around the league starting to take real notice until his final season with the Whitecaps. And then, you know, partway through, it was announced at the end of the year he's going to Bayern Munich and everything else came through. So really, once that sort of, until that last year, it sort of blew up and everything, and the Davies hype train was born. But realistically, like, apart from Davies, the Whitecaps have never had a like MLS like front face, like, you know, like you get probably, like the, you get the,
probably Morales would be the closest thing.
Yeah, it's, yeah, maybe like sort of Camilo. Like he was a great player and he got like, I mean, he got the golden boot, but like he wasn't like, I don't say he wasn't a big name, but he wasn't like,
he wasn't getting the attention.
He wasn't, you know, people like neutrals weren't buying Camilo jerseys. They weren't, you know, they weren't doing all sorts of like stuff. Like he, yeah, he wasn't getting the attention. So Whitecaps have never really had the guy apart from like Davies for like three quarters of his last season. So just having someone of that caliber, that league recognition, that, you know, who could tick every box.
Champions League proven.
Not Scotiabank. Not the Scotiabank Champions UEFA. League. The big boys. So anyway, we can just ravel on and on all day about, you know, how our mouths water.
One thing I do want to mention though is there is, I think, two more number 10s that we don't know yet for sure. We know
because I mean they said there was a list of five, and then it was a list of four, and then it was Chiquinho. Is that how you say his name?
Chiquinho.
Chiquinho, that was it. Chiquinho, which came and went, and now it's Tavio. So that means there's two left out there, whoever they may be.
And I'm thinking, I'm thinking one of them is a Colombian.
You would say that. God, look at the smile on you. Look at the arrogant smile on your face as you like, oh, hey, he's going to be Colombian. Like, I wish you guys could see the camera right now. Sebastian is beaming ear to ear right now.
It's going to be Jamintun Campaz, Deportes Tolima midfielder. He's really good as well. So he's another name to watch out for. I have, you know, with my realm of contacts, you know, made a couple emails sent around the Colombian pastures to see if there is some MLS interest. So I will update you guys if I hear anything, but we'll see.
Oh, very fancy. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think with that, that wraps up our number 10 talk, you know, our, you know, weekly.
For like the 50th talk. Time. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess as we sort of we start to wrap this one up, the only real sort of thing left is Evan Newton joining the Caps, you know. So you coming from the Indy 11, and he was, I think, I don't know if he was the league leading or the franchise leading in clean sheets and in saves. He was in one of them, either the league or the franchise. But yeah,
league, so league's career leader in both shutouts and saves.
Oh, damn. Like that's... And, like, you know, that's a good stat to have. Like, it's not like you're coming up with, like, these random ass, like, dinky things. Like, best win percentage after losing by two goals the week before on a Thursday. Like, there's, like, those, like, BS stats like that. Like, those, like, you know, like, if you hear, like, those are the meat and potatoes of the meal, you know. That's, like, what you want to see from a player acquisition. So, yeah, so, you know, he seems like a great veteran to most likely back up Max Crepeau. However, that does leave question marks around Thomas Asol. At the start of the offseason, it was kind of announced that whether he'd be here or he'd be somewhere else, Thomas Asol will be a number one keeper somewhere in 2021. Bringing in Newton, who I'm most likely presuming isn't going to be our starter. Yeah, I just think you can't like turn away from Max Crepeau. He's, you know, national team quality. He's proven himself to the Whitecaps. He's strong. My biggest thing is like how like aggressive he is off of like corners and free kicks. Like he will like come right out and punch the ball away. Thomas, and you know, he's experienced, you know, and that sort of stuff comes with experience and it comes with time. And Thomas Asol, we all fell in love with Thomas Asol at MLS's back and what he did for the first few games of the, for the first few games of the Canadian series, both on the East Coast and back at BC Place until he got hurt. But we all wish him the best. Where if he is the one that is leaving the Whitecaps, you'd have to imagine so. Like, can you, if you're the Whitecaps, you can't turn away from Max Crepeau, can you?
No, I don't think so. Unless he isn't like 100% comfortable with the injury, but I think that'd be a little bit too harsh to, you know, like,
yeah,
like, you know, loan him out or transfer him out of the club
just you wouldn't loan an injury,
like because of an injury setback. So it's gonna be interesting to watch. It looks like the move won't happen until like summer.
Yeah, most likely.
But it's gonna be interesting to watch because, again, you got two very proven goalkeepers in Tassal and Crepeau, and you don't know where Hassel would go if he is the more likely choice to leave the Whitecaps. I mean, I would say there is a better chance at him going to CPL more than anything because, yeah. I mean, at this point in time with the pandemic and everything, why would you really want to send him out on loan to Europe?
Yeah.
And I think for him, is
or even really, the USL, like the complication of visas, passports, you know, the state that the US is in right now, like, you know, obviously every state's different, but, you know, like I can't see him going anywhere else other than
Yeah, and I think if he does go to Europe, like, which team is he going to get all the minutes that the Whitecaps want him to get? Like,
exactly.
There's very little teams, unless it's that, like very little teams at a really good level that are going to take Hassel and put him in as a starter.
Yeah.
So I think the best move would be to get him to a CPL team, get him to a team that's maybe Pacific. I don't know. I think they do have a proven goalkeeper in Nolan Worth, but there's teams there that may need a starting goalkeeper and a proven one at a high level. So I think what the Whitecaps should do is get him to a CPL team, kind of get him to stay close by to Vancouver and, you know, further his development because at the end of the day, you don't really want to see the Whitecaps move on from Hassel entirely.
Yeah, that'd be the worst case scenario. Mm-hmm.
You want to keep him, you want to get him his development, but at the same time, keep him for the future. Once Crapo, you know.
I mean, even so, like Evan Newton, he's 32. Like, he's not going to be around for, you know, realistically.
He's been signed till 2022, so.
Yeah, exactly. So that should really give you like an idea of like where the Whitecaps mindset is with Newton, you know, how long they want him around, how long they think he's going to be around. And that also gives you a bit of a timeline with most likely Thomas Hassel going out until the end of that. And then, you know, coming back, he's got a year or two of experience. Max Capo is a little bit older. He might not be completely as set, or, you know, he might want to move on and, you know, try a new challenge in his life or whatever. So
maybe.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, it's you know, if and nuts or candies and nuts,
What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen?
Oh, I think Crapo will be the Whitecaps guy. And like you said, he's going to stay he's not going to go like, you know, next week, whatever, Hassel. But yeah, Newton's going to be the backup. Most likely Hassel will go out in the summer, loan him. I would prefer a CPL team. Pacific, I don't really know too much about the CPL, but like, I'd love to see him at Pacific, you know, stay within BC. I don't think Saskatchewan have a team, do they? Because that's where he's from. I don't think they do.
No.
So yeah, even still, like, you know, keep him, like, you know, just as long as we're not sending him off to the middle of nowhere where he's not going to get minutes, where he's going to lose confidence, lose his momentum. Because, you know, he really picked up steam after MLS's back and stuff. So, yeah, and then again, Newton was signed to 2022. 2023 comes around. We've got Thomas Hassel with proven number one goalkeeper experience, even if it is at a lower level or a different club. He comes in, and then we get to see an exciting goalkeeper battle with Crapo and Hassel. You know, this, like, you know, if Hassel was healthy, you know, we would have never even really heard of Hassel. You know, or if who's the other backup?
Meredith,
you know, because Meredith didn't travel to MLS's back only because his mother unfortunately passed away. So, you know, if he did go to MLS's back, you know, we may have never seen Thomas Hassel, you know, and all of this wouldn't have started, and this wouldn't be a conversation. So yeah, I'd love to see him go to the CPL, get a year or two of valid number one experience, getting those minutes under his belt, then coming back and challenging Max Crapo for the starting position. Because that's just going to bring out the best in both goalkeepers, you know? Like, we've seen that with many positions. Even the left-back spot last year, Ali Adnan lost his spot to Gutierrez for a few games. He came back, he went on to win the player of the year, you know? It's awesome to see players fuel each other because they want the minutes, they want to start, they want to get the stats, and that brings out the best in both of them. So I think it's going to be the same for the goalkeepers. So yeah, if he does get loaned out and he gets consistent goalkeeper number one minutes, I'd be very happy with that for Thomas Hassel. And I think he would too.
For sure, yeah. I think we're going to have to come back in 2023 to this episode.
I'll cut it out and leave it on my desktop on my laptop. Yeah, but I do think with that is going to wrap up episode 38 of the 90 Plus podcast, unless I'm missing anything, Sebastian. I don't think so.
Well, CBA, we kind of.
Oh, true. Yeah, that's start, yeah.
It's not like too big. Like,
well, it's huge. It's kind of. It could be a big season. Good lord.
I mean, we could be in a lockdown, so it is pretty big. But
yeah.
Here's to hoping that doesn't happen. Hopefully, we don't. Hopefully, the player CBA and the league can come to an agreement. I gotta say, I'm cheers to that.
I'm drinking this weird like strawberry raspberry like sort of chocolatey smoothie that my mom made me.
You have and to finish
I,
it before
the I told Sebastian ends. I'd finish it before the end of the episode, and there's maybe like one big sip left. So I'm raising my last little drops to that. To the
CBA. No lockdowns.
We've bloody had enough of lockdowns last year.
Yeah. So I think in my opinion, I'm not entirely happy with the league and how they're handling the situation. The fact that they're already proposing a lockdown, even after a pretty good proposal from the MLSPA, is
ridiculous. You can't budge much more. So, like,
and if they do end up going into lockdown, you can say goodbye to the Otavio Lynx for sure.
Oh yeah,
you can say goodbye to everything, all the fans of the league. Pretty sure, you know.
Oh yeah,
it's gonna be crazy if they do go into lockdown. But cheers to that. Cheers to hoping that doesn't happen.
Yeah,
because it would be a disaster.
I can agree to that. You know, you know, if you're the PA, you can't budge a whole lot more. You know, you've given out a pretty solid, and in my opinion, fair from the PA's perspective. You know, and the league, you know, refusing to pick up on that option and saying, you know what, we're going to give you one more week to basically do it our way or just not play. And because I talked to Ryan Raposo and I talked to him like briefly about this because he wasn't too informed, but he said at the end of the day, all the players, they just want to play, like, mm-hmm. realist. And so, like, I do feel like the MLS, while, you know, it's kind of like a crappy move that the players are going to have to like go under, the league really looks like it's not budging, and it's going to make the PA do most of the heavy lifting and the moving and the negotiations. So I do think that from what I like know and have read and have heard from Raposo talking to other players and stuff, it does seem like that they're going to do everything they can to avoid the lockout. And even if that does mean taking up the league's agreement, then like, I don't want to, you know, put stuff out there or whatever. But yeah, just really from what I've heard, I do think that we are going to have a season this year. It's going to start on time in like April, what was it 4th or 7th or something like that was the first weekend it was going to be. It was within the first week of April, like mm-hmm. around that. But
April 3rd.
Damn, so close. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I do think from like what I've read, what I've heard, I feel bad because I side with the PA, and I think, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, I think it's like, unless you're literally part of the MLS, it's hard not to. Like, so yeah, it's a sticky situation, very very sticky, and we will find out in a maximum of like 8 days or 7 days to see the end result of that. And with that I think now that will conclude episode 38. Sebastian, as always, thank you for joining us, my wonderful co-host, my good-looking co-host. Any single ladies out there interested, you know where to hit him up, at SebastianP74 on Twitter, or the at 90 plus podcast on Twitter. I am at Rigetti Ben. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you guys soon, figure out what's going on with the CBA, the players, everyone, everything. We will find out soon. However, till
appreciate
then.
Appreciate it, my good looking host.
I yes. wanted to say that. Oh, thank you. It's the beard. Thank you.
It's the beard.
It's the beard. Ever since I grew this beard, though, bad things have been happening. The Whitecaps missed the playoffs. There might not be a season. We haven't got the number. Damn, I should really consider shaving this thing.
Oh, man, bro. It's looking
it's good. Iconic it's now. Like, I love it. I really love it. Yeah. Anyway, we'll stay tuned for our next episode to see if I keep my beard or not as well. We can add that to the list of things we're keeping an eye on here at the 90 Plus Podcast. Thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you again soon. See you guys later. Peace.
Peace.